So on January 23rd, 2026, a federal judge basically slammed a gavel down and effectively locked the gates on, I think it was 2,200 miles of dirt roads.
Yeah, right out in the Mojave Desert.
Exactly. And, for most people, that's just another environmental policy headline,
Right.
while just fading into the background noise of the daily news cycle.
Just another Tuesday in land management.
Right. But for one totally unfunded startup out of Sierra County, New Mexico, that judge didn't just close a trail, they basically padlocked their classroom.
Which is an incredibly bold way to frame it.
It really is. So welcome to the deep dive. We know you're constantly bombarded with reports and memos, and you want the core insights without wading through hundreds of pages of corporate strategy.
Because nobody has time for that.
Exactly. So today, we actually have our hands on an internal exclusive document. It's called Memo to Members. The classroom we're building requires open land.
It's Memo 002, I believe.
Yeah, Memo 002, published on April 16th, 2026, to this private group called the Sovereign Circle. And it's written by Mike Isaacs, who is the founder of Timber Outdoor.
And our mission today is really to explore this, well, this fascinating business strategy where an outdoor startup is trying to just completely reframe the debate over public land access.
Right, because usually debates over off-roading, they center on recreation versus conservation, like guys in trucks versus protecting habitat.
The same tug of war we've seen for decades.
Totally. But Timber Outdoor is introducing this super surprising third angle. They're arguing that this is about educational infrastructure. Okay, let's unpack this. What actually triggered this whole memo?
Well, the inciting incident, like you mentioned at the top, was that January 23rd federal court order. It shut down all those Western Mojave or WEMO off-highway vehicle
Right,
routes.
the WEMO routes, 2,200 miles is, I mean, that's roughly the driving distance from Los Angeles to Chicago, just gone.
It's a massive swath of land.
Yeah.
But before we get too deep into the weeds here, I do want to do a quick neutrality check.
Oh, absolutely. Good call.
Yeah, because in this deep dive, we're not taking a stance on the federal court order itself. We're not picking sides on land closures or environmental policies.
Right, that's a whole different debate.
Exactly. Our goal today is purely to analyze the unique business logic that Timber is presenting in this memo.
Because their approach is just completely counterintuitive. I mean, they obviously oppose the restriction, but the memo admits to having a, and I'm quoting here, a direct, concrete, commercial reason to care.
Right. It's not just a philosophical grievance for them.
No, it's existential. They're not just hobbyists complaining about losing their weekend playground.
And what's fascinating here is how unusual it is for an unfunded startup to publicly tie its entire future business model to a highly contested federal land use case.
It breaks all the rules. I mean, usually you want a frictionless path to market, right? You don't pick a fight with the federal government before you've even launched your product.
You definitely don't,
Yeah.
unless, of course, your product literally requires that exact physical dirt to function.
Which brings us to exactly what Timber is building. They call it location-based education.
Location-based education, which sounds like a buzzword, but the mechanics are pretty wild.
Yeah, it's not just a digital textbook you download on an iPad and, read on your couch. It's a GPS-triggered outdoor curriculum delivery system.
Meaning the software literally stays dormant until you get there.
Exactly. It only activates when you physically arrive at a specific geographic coordinate on public land inside a vehicle.
And the memo goes into why the Mojave Desert was right at the top of their deployment list for this.
Oh, yeah, the Mojave's perfect for this. Why is that again?
Well, a couple of reasons. First, it has some of the darkest skies in the continental U.S.
Which you absolutely need for astronomy.
Right. But beyond that, the geology and the ecology serve as this living textbook. Isaacs talks about alluvial fans, volcanic craters, play lakes, fault lines.
Wait, for anyone who hasn't taken desert geology, an alluvial fan is basically this massive fan-shaped deposit of gravel and sand, right?
Yeah, it builds up over thousands of years as water just rushes out of the canyon and spreads across a plain.
And a playa lake is a dry lake bed that shows these intense mineral cycles. I mean, these aren't just pretty views. They're visible records of tectonic violence.
Tectonic violence. That's a great way to put it.
Well, I mean, reading about tectonic plates under fluorescent lights in a high school is just a completely different cognitive experience than driving out into a basin and actually standing on a fault line.
It creates a totally different memory anchor. The spatial awareness, the scale, textbook just can't replicate that.
Totally. And the memo actually paints a picture of what this looks like in practice. They have this concept rendering for a course called Astro Studies ASTS 100.
That rendering is so detailed. It shows this mobile education platform, right?
Yeah.
You got kids at outdoor desks under a totally star-filled sky.
Out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, exactly. There's a chalkboard screen, a rooftop telescope station mounted right onto the vehicle. They've got QR-coded site curriculum for, like, the local vegetation and wildlife.
Oh, and don't forget the live stream component. So even if you can't be there physically, the vehicle acts as a broadcasting hub.
It's brilliant.
Imagine it like an interactive museum exhibit. But, you know, instead of walking into a building in a city, your 4x4 triggers the exhibit when your GPS pin hits a volcanic crater.
The physical vehicle is the key card that unlocks the digital curriculum.
Exactly. But, and this is where we shift from the product vision to the strategic argument. Because the curriculum is tied to physical terrain, Timber is making a huge leap in logic.
Right. They're arguing that every closed trail is literally an eliminated classroom.
An eliminated classroom. But come on, let me play devil's advocate for a second. Couldn't they just teach this in a normal classroom? Or like, why does the vehicle have to be the delivery mechanism?
Yeah, why not just use a VR headset, right?
Exactly. Critics are just going to look at this and say, this is a Trojan horse. This is just a clever PR excuse for guys who want to keep driving their dirt bikes in the desert.
And wrapping it in the unassailable flag of education.
Right, so how do they defend against that?
Well, the memo addresses this head on with a pretty sharp vested interest shift. Timber is actively distancing themselves from the recreational industry.
They don't want to be lumped in with the hobbyists.
No, they explicitly state, we are not a recreational company defending hobby trails. Instead, they frame themselves as an education company defending its future infrastructure.
Okay, but what about the VR argument? Why physically drive out there?
Because they argue the friction of the journey, navigating the real world, dealing with the elements, is a core component of the learning. The vehicle isn't a toy. It's specialized scientific access equipment.
Oh, like a research vessel in the ocean.
Exactly. You wouldn't tell a marine biologist, hey, abandon your ship and just use VR to study the coral reefs.
Right. Terrestrial ecosystems require the exact same physical immersion. So to them, a closed off-road trail isn't just a lost weekend of camping. It's like putting a padlock on a university science lab.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the obstacles they're facing are rigid. We're talking court-ordered trail closures, wilderness designations, closures driven by the Endangered Species Act, the ESA.
And those aren't just suggestions. A wilderness designation literally bans all mechanized travel. You can't even push a wheelbarrow in there, let alone drive a 4x4.
Right. And for a software company that relies on hitting a specific GPS coordinate to unlock its product, that legal boundary is a literal firewall.
It's like Apple building the App Store, and right before launch, the government says it's illegal to operate an iPhone in half the country. The store exists, but you can't reach it.
And to a hobbyist, an ESA closure is just a political frustration. But to Timber, these are business model dependencies, literal GPS pins they can no longer place.
Which flows right into the super stark reality of their situation. I mean, they have this grand utopian vision of a digital physical university.
But they're an unfunded startup.
Right. They don't have a seat at the table. They don't have Washington lobbyists. It's a massive catch-22.
It really is. You have a product that requires open land, but the land is being closed today. If you wait 3 years for venture capital to build the app, the trails might be permanently shut down.
You'd have this beautiful education app and nowhere on earth to legally use it. So how do you fund a multi-agency federal fight before your product even exists?
That is where their early community comes in. They call them the Sovereign Circle.
Yeah, these are the early believers, right? And they use this dashboard feature called Fund the Cause.
Right. It allows these members to direct their monthly contributions straight toward legal advocacy. They're funding the fight before the product is even built.
And the memo points to specific real-time action. Like on the exact day this memo was published, April 16th, 2026, this group called the Blue Ribbon Coalition filed to intervene in the federal court WeMo case.
And that coalition is funded in part by Timber's Sovereign Circle members.
It's wild. But they use some hopeful statistics to rally this base, right? Because a 2,200-mile closure sounds like a totally lost cause.
Yeah, but Timber points out that 63% of WeMo routes are still open. They're telling their members, hey, the fight is not over.
And they mention a target audience of 268 million Americans. They say the traditional outdoor industry has never even spoken to these people.
Because they're not just targeting legacy off-roaders. They want families, students, amateur astronomers, everyday people.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think about the paradox of this whole thing.
The funding paradox.
Yeah. Members are paying their own personal money to protect the infrastructure of a product that hasn't even been built yet. They are buying completely into Mike Isaacs's premise.
That the vehicle has to be transformed from a recreational toy into a vital educational tool.
Exactly. So what is the ultimate takeaway from all this?
This raises an important question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Timber is attempting a massive intellectual judo move here. For half a century, motorized vehicles on public land have been categorized as a recreational pursuit.
And usually criticized as an environmental liability.
Exactly. But Timber is trying to change the paradigm. They want to merge off-roading with formal education. They're turning a 4x4 into a mobile classroom.
And if they actually succeed in convincing the federal courts that a dirt trail is vital educational infrastructure, that completely rewrites the rules of engagement for land conservation in the U.S.
It forces policymakers to weigh the value of an undisturbed desert against the value of a living, accessible geological laboratory.
It's a brilliant, highly aggressive framing. And, you know, time will tell if a bootstrap startup can actually move the needle in a federal court.
It's definitely an uphill battle.
For sure. Well, we've dissected the WeMo catalyst, the mechanics of location-based education, and the reality of a community crowdfunding a lawsuit for a product they can't even use yet. A
lot of ground covered today.
Yeah. But there is one final detail from the source material that deserves your attention before we wrap up.
Oh, the footer.
Yes. At the very bottom of the memo, quietly sitting in the footer, is a Latin phrase, nullius in verba. It roughly translates to, take nobody's word for it.
It's a powerful statement.
It really is. In an era where you can, you know, instantly pull up any fact, any high-resolution star chart, or a 3D geological map on the supercomputer sitting in your pocket, Timber is asking a profound philosophical question.
Does true lasting education require us to stop outsourcing our understanding to screens?
Exactly. Does it require us to close the Wikipedia tab, physically drive out into the dust, stand beneath a terrifyingly vast dark sky, and demand to see the fault lines and the stars with our own eyes? Something to think about. Until next time.